Chapter 80. When Molly looked up to see them standing in front of her, she had a puzzled look on her face. Jesse held up his palms. "Don't even ask." "You're the boss," Molly said. "I just work here." Jesse pointed at Kavanaugh. "Anything?" "I did what you told me. I pumped him full of fresh coffee. When he yells bingo, I'll come get you."
"Anything else from the Sharon PD?"
She shook her head.
"I'm worried about her, Jesse. I was thinking we're pretty sure it's a kidnapping, right? Why don't we alert the FBI? They might have something on Mr. Peepers we don't know about, and they have resources not even Healy has."
"Good idea. D can advise you on who to..."
"Worried about who?" Diana wanted to know.
Jesse said, "Kayla. Molly, fill her in."
"What?"
His palms were up again. "She'll explain. And Molly, until I come out there," he said, pointing at his office door. "No phone calls, no interruptions." She saluted him. "Yes, fearless leader." Jesse barely noticed. His head was already someplace else. While the Boston area underworld didn't publish its hierarchy on the sports page of the Globe, it was generally believed that Geno Fish was at or near the top of the food chain. A guy like Mike Frazetta, as ambitious and powerful as he seemed to be, wasn't nearly in the same league as Fish. Geno wasn't an easy man to see, and he was an even more difficult man to get on the phone. But Jesse Stone and Geno Fish had had dealings before. It wasn't as if they were pals, but they did share a healthy respect for each other. And, like most dealings between cops and criminals, their relationship was a thing born of mutual self-interest. It took two preliminary phone calls for Jesse to reach Geno, the second to Vinnie Morris, Fish's right hand. Vinnie was to shooting what Ted Williams had been to hitting a baseball, yet he was dangerous for more than his guns, and everyone knew it. To come at Geno Fish, you'd have to go through Vinnie, and not many rivals had been stupid or bold enough to try. Those that had were dead. Vinnie and Jesse also shared a mutual respect. But when Jesse explained to Vinnie why he needed to speak to his boss, he was surprised by Morris's answer.
"Be careful, Stone. Don't fuck with this guy."
"He can't be that good."
"He's better than that," Vinnie said. "He's the type of guy keeps me up nights."
"Thanks for the heads up.
Professional courtesy. Hang up and wait for the call."
There was a rapping on the pebbled glass of his office door. Molly stuck her head in. Jesse jumped to his feet. He didn't scream very often, especially not at Molly. But Geno Fish wasn't the type of man you told to hold on for just a second, not at a time like this. Maybe not ever.
"Didn't I tell you not to?"
"I know, I'm sorry, Jesse, but this couldn't wait. You want to come out or have us come in?"
He was already up, so he walked outside. When he did, all eyes were on him. Molly's, Ed's, Diana's, Connor Kavanaugh's, and a pair of eyes he didn't expect to see.
"Suit," Jesse said. "What are you doing in now? Your shift doesn't start for a few more hours."
"Yeah, I know, Jesse. Eddie called, said things were happening down here. So I thought I could come and help. You're always after me to show initiative."
"Thanks, Suit, but I don't think Molly got me out of my office because you came in to lend a hand. For her sake, I hope not."
Then Connor Kavanaugh, dark purple bags under his squinted eyes, held up one of the surveillance photos that Diana had shown Jesse.
"This is the guy, Chief. This is the guy who punched me in the throat."
Diana spoke first. "Joe Breen is Mike Frazetta's muscle."
"He's in the system," Molly said. "Bad boy. Did a bid for assault with a deadly weapon. Last known address is in Boston."
Jesse walked over to Connor Kavanaugh and stared him in the eyes.
"You sure? If you're not 100% sure, now's the time to tell me."
"As sure as I can be, Chief. That's the prick that was at the hotel. I'll pick him out of a photo array, a lineup, whatever. I'll swear to it in court. He's the one."
Jesse shook his hand and thanked him, told him to go home and get some sleep. Then he turned to Ed.
"Ed, print a picture of Breen up and put it in a photo array. Go over to the hospital and see if the Salter kid can pick him out. Then go over to the hotel and see if anyone else recognizes him. Find the caretaker at the old Salter place, Ethan Farley, and see if he recognizes him. Go. Molly, put Breen's name out there, but for now, just as wanted for assault. We don't want to tip our hand about the homicide.
I'll discuss it with Healy when I get a chance. When the phone rang, the station house got very quiet.